Okay, good morning. We're holding here in Sivhat Shuvah, Perek Beis, and we've learned here last week, we were introduced to the third facet of Tshuva, as taught by the Maharal. And Nachzor Al Hadvarim, let's review the things we've been talking about here, and hopefully be able to understand and move forward in what the Maharal is going to do here today, and hopefully to be able to conclude the Perek, which is just an analysis of other Divrei Chazal that somehow, of course, that speak about Tshuva. That's the way, as we've said, in the Nesivos, he brings, you know, collections of the words of Chazal about a topic, and tries to give some meaning and some depth to the various statements. So last week, what we focused on was a third element. The first element, which we learned about in the beginning of the Nesivat Shuva, was the focus of mind over matter, the focus of Ein Adam Chayte Elam Keinichnas Bei Ruach Shtus. A person doesn't sin without a little bit of insanity. The understanding that when a person sinned, it's because they just went after their drives instead of really thinking about what they were doing. And had they thought about what they were doing, they would have done things differently. And tshuva is the process which is initiated by strengthening the das, atochainin l'adam das, leading to hashiveinu avinu l'sayra secha. You grant man wisdom, leading to the next bracha, the bracha of tshuva. Taira, right? Ulevava yavin v'shaver afalai. Taira brings to tshuva. That was that whole thing. Understanding wisdom applied means doing the right thing. Failure to apply wisdom and good sense means just going after your gut and not doing the right thing. So tshuva is coming to your senses. It doesn't really talk very much about God. It's about coming to your senses. That was element number one. Element number two was tshuva as returning to Hashem, reconnecting to Hashem. Tshuva is the humility where the person recognizes that they've done wrong, but they recognize where they come from and what we're dependent upon. And we're reconnecting to Hashem Yisborach. To the extent that sin distances us, obviously, from Hashem Yisborach, tshuva brings us close to Hashem Yisborach, which, as we learned in the Maharal, comes in handy, because anything short of coming close to Hashem Yisborach, and how's tshuva going to work? How do you get to undo the past? That's only something that Hashem recognizes, that Hashem recognizes and implements. So, if you want to have tshuva be effective, you better somehow skip everything else and go straight to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tshuva is reconnection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we spoke about that. And last week, the Maharal taught us a third element, which is tshuva returning a person to their original, pure, and natural state, being what you were supposed to be all along. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahirahi, you gave me a pure neshama, right? And that's what it is, and that's what it's supposed to be, and that's what it wants to stay. We have instincts of tara, of purity, of doing the right thing, right? We reviewed last week the Rambam extemporaneously about that the person's core desire is to do the wrong thing. Let's start at the end. Person's core desire is to do the right thing, and we just get confused by outside factors and we get lost, we lose our way. But it's an unnatural state. The way the Maharal illustrated it, we found, was by two things, two chazalim that we focused on last week. One was where it spoke about the idea of Shuv Yoimechad Lifnei Mitzascha, which we had discussed in the Maharal as returning to Hashem Yisborach. Remember that tshuva and death are both meeting your Maker, going to attach yourself to Hashem. So there it brought a mashal. What was the mashal? That there was a king who wanted to make a big feast, and he told his servants, he said, I'm going to be making a big feast. There's only one thing. He didn't tell them exactly when. He didn't tell them when it was going to be. So some of the servants said, Klum chasher b'veis ha-melech. The king, whenever he wants, he's ready. I mean, the palace is always well stocked. So I'm just going to go every day in party clothes. I'm going to go clean with a haircut, shaved, you know, wearing my dancing shoes. I want to be ready. And the other ones say, come on, nothing can happen so quickly. Right? Even in the palace of the king, it takes a little bit of time. So we're just going to go about our business. When we see that the preparations are in place for the party, we'll get dressed. And one day, the king makes the party without warning. And some of them are caught ready, and some of them are caught unready. So they come into the Suda, and Hashem says, no, you can't even, right, and we're at two stages in the Gemara, but he says, I want you all to sit there. And some of you are going to get served, and some of you aren't going to get served. And it really hurts for the ones who aren't going to get served. That was the Chazal. So of course, the metaphor which Chazal are driving for Shuvim Echel Ufnei Misascha is, everybody thinks that they're going to have plenty of warning, and they'll be able to settle all their accounts and do whatever tshuva and reconciliations before. But you know, klum chaser beveis hamelech. Hashem could make a very quick ending to the story without warning, so it's good to be prepared. However, the Maral focuses, as it were, on the second part, which is his segue, his introduction really of this third stage of tshuva, which is that if the guy's not invited to the Suda, no. I have nothing to do with the Suda. If the guy's there standing around as a waiter for the Suda, so you know he has some connection to it, you know, and it's okay, it's pacifying. But he has a seat, and he doesn't get to eat, which means he's supposed to be part of this meal, and he's not getting it. And that's a very different pain than just, you know, didn't get to do it. So you're sitting in the stands, and it's opening day for the Orioles, right? Well, let's try a different team, maybe. Right? Opening day is always a good day. You're sitting in the stands, opening day for the Orioles, and you always wanted to be a baseball player, you know? But, you know, fine, so you're not a baseball player, you know, like, big deal. But you're sitting in the stands, and you were at spring training with the Orioles. Right? You were at spring training with the Orioles. And you were slated, and everything was going, and so on and so forth. And you know what happened was, two nights during spring training, you partied, and because of that, they decided to cut you from the roster. You didn't show responsibility. How does it feel then, right? Or how does it feel if you're there on the Orioles bench, right? And they put somebody else in your position. Right? It ain't a diamond to the guy who's in the stands and just, you know, had a whim. I wish I would be a baseball player. The guy who's there and has deprived it. So what does that tell you? It tells you, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelech L'Olam Haba. Every Jew is supposed to be right. Every Jew is meant to be right. Every Jew's natural status to be right. It's going to feel like we're missing something that we're supposed to have that was really meant to be ours. Because that's our natural status to do good. And tshuva is just getting us, not better, but back. Return where we were supposed to be. Where we were built to be. Where we were meant to be. And the Maral went from that to explain a passage in the Gemara in Yuma, where the Gemara spoke about tshuva bringing refuah la'olam, tshuva bringing healing to the world. And Kar talking about tshuva as refuah, v'shav v'rafalai. And he says, because that's the nature of refuah, the nature of refuah is to restore a person to their original wholeness. They were well, they got sick, something broke, whatever it is, and now we're fixing it that it is the way it ought to always have been. And that's the picture of tshuva restoring a person to their original situation, to their original health. We had the Maral went on with that Gemara. We're going to leave it for now. We may reference it when we get further into the Perek later. But he had a beautiful explanation on Shuvah Bonim Shevivim, the Gemara's contradiction between the two, but we'll revisit that a little bit later. Meanwhile, this is the Ikar point, this is the main point in terms of this third stage that we speak about. Okay. So now, we're going to continue. What the Maral's pattern is going to be here is bringing a few more, right? This, what we just darshan, what we just interpreted was the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Vav. Yuma Daf Pei Vav is the end of Meseches Yuma, and the last Meseches Yuma mostly deals with the process of the service in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur. The last Perek of Yuma deals with the way we celebrate Yom Kippur sounds Beis HaMikdash, right? The Chamisha Inuyim, the different deprivations which you practice in Yom Kippur. And then, at the very end of the last parak of Yuma, it deals with Kapara, about different categories of sin and different ways of Kapara and so on and so forth. And in that, in the Gemara that discusses those Mishnayos, we have a number of statements about Tshuva. And this is one of them. In the Hartman edition, we're on the page Lamed Vav. Okay, so it goes like this. Right at the bottom of the page, Peivav Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Levi, G'dayla Tshuva Shemagas HaKisei HaKovod. Tshuva is great. Why? Because it touches, it gets you all the way to, or it reaches to, the Kisei HaKovod, the throne of Hashem's glory. Shenemar, as it says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Return Yisrael until Hashem. So it gets you till Hashem. Now the Maral has a girsa, has a text in the Gemara, which he brings when he quotes this Gemara, and it's not found on the center of the page in our Gemara. However, this text is cited by Rav Yishaya Pick, you know, who's what we call usually the Mesiras Hashas, right, on the side of the Gemara, and he brings Girsas HaYalkut V'chein Be'en Yaakov, the text in the Yalkut, right, in the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, it brings, you know, many Agadeic Gemaras, and it quotes this Gemara with an additional line, and he says, likewise in the Ein Yaakov, which is taking the Agadeic Gemaras and keeping the own text, it also quotes this Gemara with this extra line. What's the extra line? Rav Yechanan Amar Ad V'loy Ad B'chlal. Rav Yechanan said, Tshuva reaches to the Kisei HaKovod, but not there. It doesn't get you there, right? Now, whenever it says Ad, it says until. So the question is whether it's until and including, or whether it's until and it stops short. It gets you, screech, right up to the Kisei HaKovod, and stops before it gets there. So that's just up to the Kisei HaKovod. So that's the way they say it. And the Gemara here continues, and the Gemara says just what appears as another statement, Amar Rav Yochanan, right? The Bach here on Amud Beis puts in what the Yerushalayim pick put on Amud Aleph, which is that it's actually V'ha Amar Rav Yochanan. Didn't Rav Yechanan say? In other words, this is one statement of Rav Yechanan, and it's actually Reb Levi. Reb Levi said it gets you to the Kisei HaKovod. Rav Yechanan said, but just short. And then we ask a contradiction in Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan said something different. What was it? Because Rav Yechanan said, "Gedela tshuva shadecha es leisa se shavatayra." Tshuva pushes aside a leisa se that appears in the Torah. Why? Because in the Torah it says that there's an isser of a man to remarry his wife if, after he divorced her, she got married to somebody else, or she was with somebody else. Then they can't take her back. And look what it says in Yirmiyo, Heini shalach ish es ishtoi v'holcho mitoi v'esol ishacher hayoshev alel oid. If a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and goes and is with another man, and then can she ever come back to him? Halechonef techonef oretahi. Right, that would corrupt the land. That's an Isser in the Torah. It's called Tuma. The Atza Nis Reim Rabim Veshuvei Lainum Hashem. And Hashem says, you left me, and you had all kinds of relationships and alliances with others, with Avodah Zarah, and I welcome you back. So you see, the Tshuva trumps Elisa Seisha B'Tayra. Now again, the way we have the Gemara in our text, minus this thing as a question, so it's just another statement about the greatness of tshuva, that it trumps a life cessation of a tire. However, those who have in the text that it's a kasha, so they have, right, the Gemara, Rabbi Yechman says this, but one thing, Rabbi Yechman said that, right? So what's the answer to the kasha? So what they plug in, as the Maral has again in his text, is Laikasha HaBiyachid HaBetzibur. It depends whether it's an individual or whether it's the Tzibur. Now this Gemara is very cryptic, enigmatic. And guess what? We don't have Rashi on this Gemara because Rashi doesn't have this text. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? What's the question? What's the contradiction between these two Amorei Chazal? This one says Tshuva gets you almost to the Kisei HaKavod, but not onto the Kisei HaKavod. And the other one says, oh, but one second, but Tshuva pushes aside a Leis HaSei in the Torah. What do those two things have to do with one another? Okay, and then the answer, Habi Yochid, Habi Tzibur. So the Maral explains as follows. Oof. Is that on high, low, medium? What's it say? High? And yes. It's on 50 degrees or something?
No, it's the one in my house.
Huh? No, there's so many windows here. It's uh-huh. And then it was hot overnight. It didn't don't maintain the temperature in here. Okay. Oh, that's better. Thank you. I hope everybody else is, whoever was blowing on before is okay with that. Okay, so the Maral explains this as follows. And here again we have, this is the Maral plugging in to the existing three categories. Okay, this, I don't believe, is to teach us a new category. We have three, right, of Tshuva, three aspects. Here the Maral is going to teach us this Gemara plugging in to the previous categories. So he says like this. Okay, and again, I may convey the moral a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's going to be exactly right the way he wants it. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Okay, and we'll read it and explain it. Yesh l'chol adas, page lamed zayin. Ininat shuva. You have to understand, tshuva is to come back to Hashem. And by coming back to Hashem, you are separating yourself from chet, from sin, from wrongdoing. Now it works only when you can completely rid yourself of the chet, of the sin. He says, why does it say Megas HaKisei HaKavod? So this is the brilliant the brilliant insight of the Maral, I believe, in the Gemara. This is like the little tushdel, the little comparison that opens up the Gemara. And what's that? Chazal tell us that the neshamais of people are chatsuvais mitachas Kisei HaKavod. They are mined, quarried from beneath the Kisei HaKavod, from beneath Hashem's holy throne. The storehouse of neshamas, quote unquote, is there. Now we understand a neshama is a chelek elekamimal, it's a piece of the Ribbono Shel Olam. On some level it's described by Chazal as being right at, near the Kisei HaKavod. So listen to that. That mamash opens it up. And here's where the Maral ties together points 2 and 3, components 2 and 3. He says, "Kvar amarnu ki atshuva hu shechayzer al haschalasai." We already explained that tshuva is bringing you back to your original condition. This is the way you were, this is the way you're supposed to be. Right? That's why the guy feels deprived if he's missing the meal, because he was supposed to be there. It's not, I come in empty, and I got to fill up. When I fill up, I get it. If I fill up, great. If I didn't fill up, so I didn't fill up. No, I come in great, and then I draw, or I maintain, in a certain sense. Tshuva is bringing a person back to where they were, to where they ought to be. So where is that to? To the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod is where we came from. Tshuva brings the person back to the Kisei HaKavod with the understanding that closeness to Hashem is our original condition. That's where we're created. Neshama shenasat to be Torah. It was created as a coming, emanating from Hashem. That was our original condition. But then we're put into a body. We get involved in all kinds of things that move us away from the Kisei HaKavod, that make us less pure, that make us less accessible, or able to access, I should say, the Ribbono Shel Olam. But tshuva brings a person right back to that original condition. Magas at Kisei HaKavod. I think it's mamish. Maral is saying something which is so nikarim divrei emes. Such a beautiful, simple thing. Wow, you read more. Magas akitzei hakaved. What does that mean? Oh, it reaches all the way to Hashem's throne. That's so gewaldig, right? What is this? But he's saying that's the idea. It's back to where you were. You came from there, and now you're able to be back there. Haschol sada mitachas akitzei kimisham and Hashem achatzuva. Hashem magia pshitas hazeh. So the person has been able to somehow strip themselves of the sin to the point where they can mamash come back to that pure origin, to being back there in the beginning.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Okay, so you have you committed an avera or whatever, and you asked to shuv for it. So it's a single thing. Now that single shuv, it doesn't directly take you back because you've got a whole string of others that are waiting and, you know, appending.
We're talking here about shuva, period.
So
blanket shuva.
Total shuva.
Blanket shuva, right.
So how can you do that when you're not conscious often of sins that you haven't did that you've done and not conscious of? How can you do the whole bulk? You know, we've got them all sinned, we've got a whole stack of them, all of us sitting here.
So
we don't know a sins even.
Right. So you're painfully correct. And on a certain level, when we deal with tshuva as something which has to literally knock off each chet by doing tshuva on that specific chet, I don't know how we can do it. And you know, the image of comparing tshuva to the korban, whereby the korban, you know, okay, I ate chalev by mistake on this afternoon, that piece in that brown bag, and so on and so forth, and now I'm going to go and do tshuva on it, bring a korban. That's neat, but you would hate to see my list, and I would probably hate to see yours. and we know that the list is incomplete. You know, it's just like where do you start? So we speak here of a concept of a baal tshuva. A baal tshuva is where a person says, or a baal tshuva in a certain sense, you know, I don't even know where to start. Es hagluyim lanu v'she'enem gluyim lanu. Like we say in Yom Kippur, there's stuff that we know about. I've tried to list it. I've tried to enumerate it. I've tried to focus on it. But there's stuff which I haven't been able to recall. I haven't been able to dredge up, you know, from the past. But just do the whole thing. You know, when the Gemara says the story of Elazar ben Durdaya, for instance, or Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya, who did many, 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 many terrible things, and then it hit him what he was doing, and he had the anguish, the terrible agony, and he did tshuva in an instant. He was kind of lami b'sha'achas. There was no way that during that time he could have specifically enumerated every detail, but he did tshuva on his whole person. That's what he did. He did tshuva on his whole person. He remade himself as a whole, and that's what we're talking about here. And that's a tshuva. How it works, I can't. I mean, you can imagine as well as I can how that works.
The nearest that I got to, if I can share it with you, is that at the age of 55, when I was converted, right, is that imagine how many I had stacked up there at that age. I mean, if you mean experiences, world experiences, and I found that after, you know, you get two glass plates and you push them together and you can't get them apart. I was like that. I was that close to Hashem. I can't say I was feeling joy in it. It was just like there was nothing between me and Hashem, which we know actually happened. As time went by, I found there was a separation. Gradually grew and grew and grew like that. And I realized that the only way I'm going to get rid of that is to stop what I'm doing, look behind me where I came from. And it's like that. We're back again. So it really is a matter of stopping and
excellent,
looking.
Excellent. And Mi'at Hashem, if we get to it, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. This very idea that you just said, which is very important and profound, in one of the upcoming pieces. But when you did it originally, again, you didn't make a list. You just came close to Hashem.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, so you understood. That means casting this, that, and the other. But you didn't. You weren't able to go through a comprehensive list. The idea was Shuvah El Hashem. Right, comprehensive, wholesale. Right, you were becoming Jewish. You don't pay retail anymore.
There was a process before that. There was the shiva. Realized I was going the wrong way. So there was a process, but you know,
right.
You became a Bria Chadash. You became a new being.
I mean, yeah, that's right. What I mean.
And that's Geirus, and that's Tshuva. In a certain sense, it's a whole thing. It's a wholesale kind of a thing. It's not within the framework. And again, we'll explore this more. But this is not the piecemeal, you know, just fixing one little thing. This is this entirety of connection. So this is the idea of Magas ad Kisei HaKavod, but it's only ad Kisei HaKavod. And he said, well, you know, it could be that the person can cleanse themselves so much that they can come right up to Hashem, not to the Kisei HaKavod and stop at the foot of the Kisei HaKavod, but mamash right up to Hashem. Maybe one could imagine that the person could be, you know, after all, the neshama was blown into him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of drawing that picture of the neshama as a slight offshoot, instead of draw it as he himself. Rabbi Yechanan said, no, Tshuva doesn't get you that far. Then said the Gemara, but one second, we find that Tshuva does get you that far. Why? Because Tshuva overcomes a Laisa Seisha B'Taira. Now what does that mean? Why does that show you that Tshuva comes that far? Continues the Maral. Uparich va'amar Abiyechon g'dayla Tshuva shadaych ha'laysa seisha b'tayra harei magia ha'tshuva lidcheis ha'tayra. Tshuva can push aside the Tayra. Im kein bevadei magia pshitus ha'tshuva ad madregas ha'tayra. If that's the case, then the pshitus, then the person's cleansing, simplicity, okay, it's an important word, we'll see about it more as we go along, it reaches you all the way to Tayra. And if it reaches you to Tayra, that means it reaches you to Hashem. Right? As Rabbi Hartman notes in his footnotes, in order to amplify this point, excuse me, Ein davar shu karev el Hashem yisborach kamoi ha-Torah. There's nothing that's connected to Hashem like the Torah. Kud shabrichu v'erayis achadu. Ein luchu davar shu karev el Hashem yisborach kamoi ha-Torah shi'atzula min Hashem yisborach. Right? And so the implication here, according to the Maral, is that if your tshuva is able to trump the Torah, then somehow that means you are as connected to Hashem Yisbarach as can possibly be. If you just go up to a near and stop short, that can't overcome the Torah. The Torah will be closer, the Torah will be stronger, the Torah will prevail. But if you're able to overcome the Torah, then forget about it. That means that it's close as can possibly be. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that somehow, and the particular halacha is extremely germane to this, your connection to Hashem is so fundamental that it cannot be broken. Something which is sitting in front of Hashem is one thing, but something which is so fundamentally connected to Hashem is something else. What's the example of the halacha that's doicha, that it's doicha, or what is the halacha that it's doicha? A person was married to somebody and then he divorces that somebody, and if somebody leaves, or even if they're not divorced, of course the same halacha applies as much and more, is if she goes and she's with somebody else, so she can't come back. Why? Because there was a relationship, and that relationship was violated, was broken. It was a relationship which was sacred, it was a relationship which was meaningful, which was significant, but it was a relationship which was subject to being broken. That's the din of the Torah. A man marries a woman, it's a relationship which is unfortunately subject to be broken. It's subject to suspension, and it's subject to cancellation. Suspension could be a get. If she doesn't do anything, they can get back together. And it's subject to cancellation. If she starts with somebody else, the first relationship is over, is done with. But this is one of those psukim in the Torah, in the Nevi'im especially, where Hashem says, it's unbreakable. I can't do without you. So that means that while normally a violation of trust, if you look in the Torah using normal categories, says, well, these two things, they were very connected, but they're not inseparable. And this person did something that separated them. Sorry, Charlie, it's over. But with Hashem and Klal Yisrael, it's inviolate. It can't be changed. It can't be taken away. It can't be taken away. Right? Some of you may recall the beautiful Maral in the Be'er HaGoyla, in the Be'er HaShlishi, right, where he was speaking about how Drushim fit with Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk, and he brought that Chazal, the Darshans, on the Haftarah that we read, two Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, where Klal Yisrael says, "Oy, Hashem forgot us. Hashem left us. Hashem forgot us." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Could a woman forget her child? Does a woman forget her child? A woman who loses a child doesn't go for a day in her life without remembering that child." And the Rambam says, "And even if she could, I wouldn't forget you." Right, so the Gemara says, when it explains this, the Gemara says, "You know something?" He says, "You know how many constellations I created? I created whatever it was, so many millions of constellations. And you know how many stars in each one of those constellations? So many millions, billions and billions, which now we know, right? Thanks to Hubble, right? We know." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I want you to know, every one of those things I created for you, for Klal Yisrael. And you think I can forget you? You know that lady who Rachmano Litzlan loses a child? So she can't forget the child. But if you will ask her, you say, oh, it's unbelievable, right? You're doing so well, right? I look at you, right? And even though you say to the person, you went through this tragedy 5 years ago, you seem to be functioning and going. So you might say, well, every day I remember. But you know how I'm able to go by? Because I have two other children. Or because now I do this. You know, I'm a big sister. I'm a teacher. I'm a physical therapist. I have other things that I involve myself in. It's not like with that ended my life, because I had other things to point to. So it's possible that she can forget. She won't forget, Hashem says. But it's possible that she can forget. But it's impossible for me to forget. Because every single thing I did in the creation of the world was just about you. And without you, poof, it's gone. I can't. Right? That's Nachamu Nachamu Ami squared. That's the second week of Nachamu. That's the second week of Nachama. Klal Yisrael. There's no world for the Rebbeinu Shem without Klal Yisrael. There's no world for the Rebbeinu Shem without Klal Yisrael. You don't realize that the whole world revolves around you. It can't be broken. So it even trumps the Torah. And I want to just share with you a very brief insight that you can, I think, appreciate as a result of this. We're not going to discuss it at length. Just a brief insight. Last week was Shavuos Arba Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and the Jewish people did exactly what was described here. Hashem married us at Har Sinai, and during Sheva Brachas, we were unfaithful. We did the Egel right away. I mean, 40 days later, we did the Egel right away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I don't know. Forget about it, right?" So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu goes down and he smashes the Luchos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a Yashar Koach, right? Asher Shibarta, Yashar Koach, Hashem Shibarta. Hashem's happy that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he smashed the Luchos? Chazal say, you know, because when you have like such a thing, they make a mashal, very interesting mashal, you know. If somebody has such a case and a woman gets married and then she's unfaithful right away in the Ksuba, so quickly before the Ksuba is officially registered, you know, the Shushan will go and tear it up. Right? And that way, you know, she's sort of like safe. And she, "I wasn't faithful to you, you know, we're never married." There were two options at the Egel. One option was destroy the Jewish people. Hashem put that on the table. What's the second option? The second option is destroy the Torah and maintain the Jewish people. They can't both exist. If the Luchs are there, look at the Jewish people. Sorry, Charlie. Right? If the Jewish people are there, look at the Luchos. Sorry, Charlie. Moshe Rabbeinu, who there at the Luchos, at the Egel, extracted from Hashem the promise. You have to understand, was it in the beginning of creation, like the Gemara that I quoted to you before, or was it something Moshe developed? But Moshe there, in the forgiveness of the Egel, got from Hashem the promise, never ever will he bring his Shechina on any other nation. Which means, Hashem, you gotta forgive us. You gotta forgive us. So to do that, he broke the Torah. It's comparable to what we're talking about here. The connection of Hashem to the Torah is unimaginably close. But the connection of Hashem to Klal Yisrael is equally close. At least. And to the point where, if it becomes a choice between the two of them, Doiches Loises Eshev HaTorah. Hashem will say, if you go by the book, I can't get back together with you, but I have to get back together with you. So I'll put aside a truism, so to speak, of the Torah for the ultimate truism of my connection with you. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now you understand, you can enrich the Maral's answer to the Gemara. So Gemara has a problem. On the one hand, it says tshuva only brings you close to Hashem. On the other hand, it says tshuva mamish wraps you up with him. Which one is it? Answers the Gemara, habi yachid, habi tzibur. It depends whether it's the individual or whether it's the community. The individual, Hashem could separate himself from. The community, he can't. Right? When we have the ultimate confidence in the Jewish people that Hashem will never forsake us, that's not a confidence, unfortunately, which extends to the Jewish person. Right? An individual, individuals come, individuals go. Right? Remember that Medrash? When Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, don't worry, I'm saving the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know you're saving the Jewish people, but what about that kid squeezed there between the two bricks? In other words, I know you're saving the Jewish people, but I'm worried about the Jewish person. An individual doesn't have the same. Hashem's lot is cast with the Jewish people, but he says, yeah, I want to destroy this batch and I'll replace them. That's Keseder, that's Jewish history in a nutshell. The bond with Klal Yisrael is different than the bond with Prat Yisrael. And the Maral follows through with this idea. And again, he doesn't express it exactly the way we're expressing it here, but he says that's the idea. Because we always identify, and go back to the term of hispashtus, simplicity, is that pshitus is more by a tzibur. A tzibur that's a mass is different than the individual that's much more of an individual and nuanced. Klal Yisrael's connection is stronger because it's less subject to the nifrad, the individualism and the specific tracks that individuals take in their taste, in their person, in their choices. Klal Yisrael as a whole is a whole of purity, like Hashem is. It's like Echad, it's different than the individuality. And that, therefore, in the dress of the tzibur, is able to get us mamish back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Isn't the meaning of Yom Kippur exactly that type of parallelism? Yom Kippur, you have more of a blanket shua for Klal Yisrael. We're trying to sort of pitch our wagon to that cloud, but there's no guarantee on the individual. Same thing by Zibula.
Yeah. There's a chazal which says, "Eze uma shiedas ufya shel aleha." And what's a nation that knows the nature of its God? It's the Jewish people. Because normally people will go to judgment, they would be all nervous. And they would dress like a person who's fretting and concerned. But we, Rosh Hashanah, we dress in festive clothes and we prepare festive meals. Why? Because betuchim sheyaselam nes, because we're confident that Hashem's going to do a miracle for us. We're confident when we go into Rosh Hashanah, Hashem's going to do a miracle for us. Yeah?
Who's the us?
Yeah, is that true? So it's, and this is explained by many. This is a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer quoted in the Tur, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, explaining why we dress the way we do on Rosh Hashanah, why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. As Klal Yisrael, we are absolutely confident that Hashem is not going to say, forget it, guys. It's been nice. It's been a great ride. But it's over. It's not going to happen. We're betuchim that we'll come out with a miracle. We hold our lulavim apai on Sukkos. We did it. Yom Kippur, we did it. But as individuals, we're anxious. And that's why a big part, like you said, of our Aveda on Rosh Hashanah is trying to attach ourselves to the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael as much as possible. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as individuals, but Kula Niskar and Biskirachas also together in a whole picture as part of Klal Yisrael. So this is the idea. This is the separation. So we're getting back to where we came from, Ad Kisei HaKavod, and we're getting back to connection with Hashem Yisbarach. Those here, the Maral is blending those two ideas. Where we came from was by Hashem Yisbarach, and to the extent that we, as a Klal Yisrael, are mamish with Hashem Yisbarach. We, as individuals, you know, once we're defined as individuals, we in a sense maybe it's like sit in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Yeah.
First of all, does that play to some extent into the degree of the tragedy that the second base made just sinas chinam? Because to some extent there's a destruction of the entity of the clown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Also, it's interesting because the Maral is picking on the generalization of the Gemara as the questioner. The question is, it breaks a lav. Whereas it would almost seem you could pick on, that's not so much the question. The question is a specific example, because the Gemara says that, you know, we're now remarried to Hashem. So if a person is married to a woman and she goes to marry somebody else, could they, you know, if everybody's making a party, can they sleep in, you know, rooms next door? Could they be friends? Could they hang out? You know, they could do everything, just can't be married again. So it's like, if you're not saying that we're going all the way back to the Kisei HaKavod, then there isn't any question. Okay, yeah, we can hang out near Hashem now. We're not married anymore, unless you really are married again.
But God can do whatever he wants.
No, but we're the woman. We were the ones who were unfaithful.
Somehow I think that in the 16th century of the Maral, nobody asked that question. They could still be friends. But nevertheless, it's a nice piece. Yeah.
In Der Chaim, the Maral explains that the Klal never sins. They're individuals who sin, but the Klal itself never sins. So from that standpoint, does that create a little bit of a question that if the Klal never sins, then it would seem that the Klal is always it's always at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does the separation occur that there would then be a need for tshuva of the Klal?
Right. So there are many places in the Gemara where it speaks about the Klal sinning. And the example is the Egel. Like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Klal Yisrael shouldn't have made that mistake, and David HaMelech shouldn't have made the mistake with Bathsheba. But each one, Hashem had them go through the process so that we would learn about tshuva. Why do we need both? One is for the Yachid. David shows you how a Yachid can do tshuva. One is for the Tzibur. The Egel shows you how a Tzibur can do tshuva. The Tzibur sinned, and the Tzibur did tshuva. And the Maral says the Tzibur doesn't sin, right? Which is also a memra. Right? The idea is that because of what we speak about, even when the Tzibur sins, and what happens is that fringe pieces come, they influence, and they draw people after sort of like parochial interests. Right? It's pointed out, you know, in many places that even when Klal Yisrael sinned, they couldn't say, "This is our God." They said, "Eile Eleicha Yisrael," because by nature it was a fractured experience. Klal Yisrael, in its essential whole, on a certain level, not necessarily on a factual story level that Tzibur never sins, but on an essential level, Klal Yisrael as the Tzibur, as that entity, that corporate entity, so to speak, that national entity called Knesset Yisrael, that really never strays. But you look at it and you'll see it all the time, all the time. So, you know, it depends on which level you're looking at it. Okay, so that's his explanation of this piece. Now, the Maral in his way goes on. Are we okay? We have a few more minutes?
Okay,
we'll start a little more. I, as usual, I don't think we're going to finish the parak. But what we might do is, okay, we'll see a little bit. But the truth is, part of the insight we've said, okay, we'll see. We'll see what we'll do next week, Emir Tasha. But the Gemara here continues with the next statement in the Gemara Yuma, which is Gedayla Tshuva, Shemei Kareves Es HaGeula, or as the Maral quotes it, is Shemei Mevi'a Geula, that it brings Geula. Right? That's the Girs of the Yalkut. Shenemar Uvolet Zion Goyel, Ulishave Feshavi Yakov. So the Gemara says, "Matam uvalutziyon goel." Why does the Redeemer come? Mishum v'shavei pesha b'yakov, because Jewish people do tshuva. So that's the next memory. So what does this mean? Uvalutziyon goel mishum v'shavei pesha b'yakov. The Maral quotes a further statement of the Gemara. Which we don't have in our Gemara, which is, he says, "Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Gedol Tshuva Shemkarves Gulalim Shenemar Shimu Mishpat Vasu Tzavka Ki Kreva Yishu Asila Vay Tzidka Asila Higolais Peirush." So explains the Maral. Why does it bring Gula Laila? Now, do you need to explain this? By the way, I'd say this is pretty simple. Ein Yisrael Nigolim. Ella b'tshuva. I mean, that's open and more. You can only be redeemed. Kali Yisrael will only be redeemed when they do tshuva, right? We'll see all these things. So shavta Hashem lekecha, v'shava Hashem lekecha shvuscha. But the Maral is explaining it al pidarkoi, beyond the fact that when we do well, so then Hashem will help us back. But tshuva itself, and even individuals' tshuva, brings an atmosphere of gula laila. What's the idea? Says the Maral, because the Yetzer Hara that gets us to sin is something which is Shibud Malchios. It's being enslaved to a king. Right? And the Maral, we'll explain this a little bit more, but the Maral starts by, you know, richly as usual, you know, saying there's a Melech Zokei Nuxil Moshe Lesair. Right, which the Gemara darshans and explains the pasuk in Koheles, which speaks about the Melech Zakei Nuxil, referring to the old and foolish king, referring to the Yetzer Hara. We are sometimes held prisoner, held captive by such a force. And tshuva is the liberation from that. It's going back to the way we were, the way we ought to be, the way we want to be. Whether you're going to call it, excuse me, component one, which is, you know, I feel like my body runs away with me. It makes, you know, I don't want to do that. I can't believe I ate the whole thing, right? It just gets me to do it without doing it, without me wanting to do it. And when a person overcomes that, they feel liberated. Right, a person moved away from what they were, from what they were supposed to be, from what they want to be, and liberated. If the Maral compares this and relates this to the idea that every 50 years there's Yovel. And how does Yovel work? One of the things that Yovel is that people and properties, right, that went away from where they were supposed to be, a person was sold as a slave, So he left being his own, doing what he should do, and he's now in somebody else's hand. When Yovel comes, he's freed. When on Yovel? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, say Yom Kippur of Yovel, they sound the shofar, and that's when everybody goes back home. Why? Because tshuva is freedom. Tshuva is freedom. Remember the tefillah of one of those Amiroim in the Gemara? What he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Golui v'yadu alufanecha. It is known and revealed to you, revealed and known to you. Sheritzaynenu l'aseis ritzaincha. We want to do what you want. That's our desire. Avoma nase, but what can we do? Sharei sa'ar shebe'isa v'shibud malchias ma'akev. There are two things that stand in our way. One is sa'ar shebe'isa, the sourdough, the yeast. What does that mean? It's the Yetzer Hara. And what's the other one? Shibud malchias, the government. In other words, we have things from the inside that hold us prisoner. And we have things outside of ourselves that hold us prisoner. Sometimes we can say we can't do it because the government doesn't let us. And sometimes the government lets us. But we have an internal governance issue. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. Says the Maharal, when you do tshuva and you assume control, so not only does the Sar Shabbaisa disappear, but the Shibur Malchus disappears. That's the idea of Gedehla Tshuva Shenaviyah Gula Olam. It's not Hashem sent us away and he put us in a foreign land and under foreign because we were bad boys, right? And now that we're good boys again, we do tshuva. Hashem says, okay, now you can come back. It's more than that. It's inherent and internal in tshuva. Right? Golus is taking us away from our place. It's separating us from each other. When at the core, we're connected. At the core, this is where we belong. At the core, this is what we want to do. At the core, we are connected to one another. But the Yetzer Hara confuses us, separates us, dislocates us. So when a person gets in touch, it brings it all back together. It brings it all back together. Anybody has a spare time between now and Yom Kippur, I would encourage you to learn or to review, whatever the case may be, the Rot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. It's all about what we just said. All about this thing. All these principles, they all melt together. You understand, right? When we're illustrating this Chazal, we're talking about getting back to the root, getting back to Hashem, getting back to freedom, getting back to your mind over matter. But it all relates to this one thing, and that's the way the Rav Kook's Arot HaTshuva is, where he says that it's really just bringing things back to their right place. And that's why what happens on an individual level happens on a communal level. It all is trickle down, spillover effect from one part to the other. Just one big picture of things getting back to their natural state, to the way they're supposed to be. And I just took out the Rambam because I wanted to read you inside the Rambam, which we referenced before and which we discussed last week when we speak about the original condition.
What's your cooks?
Called Orot HaTshuva. Orot HaTshuva. Lights of Tshuva. Lights of Return. It's one of the more accessible Sforim of Rav Kook. I mean, it's accessible in a bookstore too, but it's also appreciable. You know, many of his writings are very hard to understand, and it's also available, I think, in numerous English versions. Writes the Rambam in the end of Perek Beis of Hilchos Gerushin, the Laws of Divorce. He says, Lama loy batel getz. He gives certain cases where he speaks about you can force a get. He says, why isn't the get batel? Harei hu anus. He's forced, whether it's through the hands of a non-Jew or a Jew. So he says, She'ein aymin anus ela misha nilchatz benitchas lasa is davar she'enim chiyo baymin atayra. The only time we say a person is forced is when he's forced to do something that he's not obliged to do by the Torah. Al misha takva yitzra levatel mitzvah lasa savera. But someone whose yitzar hara forced him not to do a mitzvah or to do an avera, ein ze anus mimeno, Elohu Anas Atzmei Bedatei Hara. He says, Vuhukach, and then he gets hit until he does what he's supposed to do, or doesn't do what he's supposed to, not supposed to do. Ain't the honest man, he's not being forced to do that. Elohu Anas Atzmei Bedatei Hara. He had forced himself originally, by his confusion, to do the wrong thing. Therefore, this person who doesn't want a divorce, but he's obligated to. But one second, he wants to be a Jew. He wants to do every mitzvah. He doesn't want to do any aveira. That's the core. He's just being held prisoner by his yeter. Yisrael Hushatakva, his yeter is holding him. So when he hits the yeter has to leave go. So then he's liberated. He's liberated to be able to do to do what he really wants. Tshuva is not a forced process. Tshuva is where you feel it's freedom. It's maybe gula lila. Inherently, it brings redemption to the world. It brings freedom. Gula means freedom. It means brings freedom to the world.
So is that why, like on Yom Kippur, the activities that we refrain from, you know, the eating, the drinking, the anointing, relations, we view that as a sense of liberation on Yom Kippur as opposed to on Tisha B'Av, that we see those activities as distracting from our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but what we're based on what we're saying now, if those are the tools of the Yetzer Hara, if those are the elements, the taivas that come with eating and drinking, those are the source of drawing us.
100%.
That's
100%.
Talking, right?
100%. 100%. Okay, so we are going to stop here, and I just would mention, I was hoping we would finish today, but we didn't. What is left here in this parak, mostly, is the discussion of the difference between Shuvah Me'ava and Shuvah Me'ira, which I alluded to earlier, was something we talked about, one facet of it last time, in terms of the distinction between component one and component two. The Maharal is going to go over that here, or say that here for the first time, we just had referenced it before, and he's going to talk about what Avram brought up, or the point which I mentioned that we would discuss later in the parak, what Avram brought up, a notion of the positivity of tshuva, of the positive energy of moving towards Hashem, as opposed to sort of like being with Hashem, where sometimes you end up, the plates get easier to separate. So Mirz Hashem will do that hopefully next week. But those are famous last words. Mirz Hashem.
Considering what I've been involved.